King that is exalted above all else. And God, I just thank you for allowing us to be a part of your kingdom. And Lord, as we realize that we are your representative here on earth, that Father, we will represent you well. God, we just pray as we think on those things tonight, as we study a little bit more into the apostles and their understanding. Lord, I just am so grateful that you give us the understanding that we need to live a life that you would ask us to live. Without you and without the wisdom you give us, on our own, we would never figure it out. We would never be able to do it. And Father, with the wisdom and the power that you give, we can be those children. And Father, we thank you for that. God, as we study that tonight, I pray you continue just to quiet our hearts and minds and teach us well in your Son's name. Amen. All right, thank you. Appreciate that. And as we mentioned this morning, one of the things that we looked at is the realms of how Paul went to Jerusalem, and not for approval, but he went to Jerusalem to see if they were on the same page, so that all the work he was doing wasn't in vain. And so he really needed the support of the Jerusalem, basically the apostles there in Jerusalem, in order to help fight the Judaizers. If they would have given in to the Judaizers from Jerusalem, then Paul's ministry would have been a lot more difficult. And so when we understand that, we realize also that the New Testament wasn't written when Paul was going through all this. There was letters written already. There were some letters circulating already. But there was nothing like you and I have. And one of the things, and I know all of us here tonight, when you think of a Bible, you probably got three or four of them around the house. You may have several translations. I know I have different Bibles around the house, and look at different one translations, and I look at different commentaries, and I got all that stuff around the house. And for you and I to hear a young person say, "What is a Bible?" It's foreign to us. But Kim was sharing downstairs in junior church, there are more kids downstairs in our church this Sunday, last Sunday, and the other, asking what a Bible is. In our church, the kids are asking, let alone out there. I mean, we are in a world and a generation that is powering so fast that, man, we got to catch up. We got to catch up to it. And again, studying the scriptures is something that you and I, growing up, took for granted. It was there. We studied it. We understood it. We knew it. Devotions with parents was a common thing. All these things going on. And so when you look at all that the kids are facing and we're facing, we assume, sometimes even studying the Bible, that the people that we're studying with, they had a Bible. They didn't. They had the Old Testament scrolls, but they did not have one in every house. They had no written scriptures in their homes at all, period. And so to think about that, that's the foundation, I guess, where I went ahead. How did they know truth? How did they understand the truth? Where did they go to get it? Well, they surely couldn't have gone to the Pharisees. They were the ones holding the truth. They were the ones holding the scrolls and going through the studies and reading the scriptures. So that's why it's so important that we understand, first of all, in Jerusalem, the apostles were there because that's where everything was at. That was the hub of the world in that moment, that time frame. And so they were there because we're not far removed from Pentecost. We're not far removed from the feast. We're not far removed from the cross when a lot of these letters were written. Until you go down, then you're going down 30, 40, 60 years by the time it's all done. So it's all fresh and it's all new and it's all there. The apostles had to be able to understand and discern truth, because those are the ones that they look to. And I thought about that for a minute. Isn't that us today? Shouldn't the world look to us, God's children, for truth? Shouldn't they be able to come to us and say, you know, what is true? What is right? How do we decide it? How do we decipher the things of our world today? And so, you know, in the position I hold as pastor, I automatically get the questions. People expect me to have the answers. And interesting enough, I got a question here the other day that it was a text about that long. And my phone's not that big. I mean, it was a big text. I had a question about some scriptures, and they asked me things, and my answer to them was, listen, I got to get back to you. You got way a lot of things in here, you know. So I'm expected. But all children of God should be able to share the truth when asked questions about what it's all about. For Paul, going this morning, as we studied through in Galatians chapter 2, going through an understanding or going and letting them know the gospel he's preaching 14 years after he was already preaching it, going and teaching this gospel message, it was very important. So, turn your Bibles to John chapter 14. How did they know the truth? How did they have the truth? Well, we're going to go back to a passage of Scripture. Most of you are probably very familiar with John 14. It's a very familiar text where Christ is teaching his disciples. He begins to teach them very seriously about what's going to happen here shortly. He's going to teach them about his death and resurrection. He's going to teach them about what it's all about. And the most familiar part of chapter 14 is the first few verses that we hear many times. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And so when we see this, and again, Christ is explaining, listen, I'm going to go. I have to go. So in all of that teaching, go down to chapter 14, verse 15. Because here, this one verse begins to set the stage of their understanding. And I think it's very important because they, before Pentecost, did not have the indwelling, permanent indwelling Spirit in them. But the Old Testament known, the Spirit of God dwelt men as God chose to let that happen. And so I think up until that period of the resurrection and the ascension of Christ, the 40 days he stayed here, and then the final ascension, final when he went to heaven, then the day of Pentecost. At the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God indwelled them permanently, just like he does you and I, according to Romans 5. So that Spirit of God in us is the important part. He's teaching them what that's all about in this text. You and I understand we got the Spirit of God in us. And here's the thing. Are we using the Spirit of God to understand the Word of God more than we're using our own intellect? That is my question. Are we using our own understanding and our own intellect more than relying on the Spirit of God to instruct and teach us? So, let's dig into it. Those are the couple questions we'll get into here as we go through. But first of all, in verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We hear that verse all the time. It's a very important verse to start out on, simply because when we start out on that verse, what we find is this is the key to understanding God's commandments. And we know God's commandments is his word. Pretty much everything God speaks, everything God says is a command in some form. So all of God's word. So for you and I to understand this, there has to be already a form of love, period. And I truly believe that if there is no love, or our love for Christ at times will determine whether we are trying to understand him in our own intellect or the Spirit of God. Because I think it's very clear, as God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then he says, and I will pray the Father, in verse 16, that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So loving God, I think, is the foundational, I think, setting for you and I to understand the Word of God. Because if we don't love him, why would he want us to understand him? If we don't love him and we're not living for him, why would he want us to know anything about him? And we're talking people now, again, here they were unsaved. The apostles, and we term it unsaved, they were called by God for sure by this point, and they were the apostles. And so I think they had an understanding graced by God prior to the Spirit of God coming in their lives. just like he did David, Abraham, Moses, and all the patriarchs in the Old Testament. He indwelt them, he used them for a period of time. But the part of the new covenant is that the Spirit of God comes into us permanently. And so, and with that understanding, the loving of God, I think, is very important. Because as this Comforter will come, and the Spirit of God will come, and he will stay and dwell with us permanently is an important part. So, as we see what he's teaching here, and he begins to teach, in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. One of the first things we see is, how did they know the truth? When Paul went to them and began to talk about the gospel that he was preaching, how did they agree with that? How did they know what Paul was preaching was true? Well, one of the first signs, as we understand in that verse, is that the Spirit of truth is in us. The Spirit of truth is in us. There's no way that the Spirit of God that is in us is going to allow us, when we seek the truth, to understand the lie or to believe the lie. That's our choice. We do that. We believe the lie. Satan does, or God, or Spirit of God does not put us in that understanding, and the world will not receive them. So it's interesting that as the Spirit of truth, John 15 talks about that. John 16 talks about that. But the world cannot accept him. Why? Simply because they don't know him. They don't see him. They have no understanding of him. So again, the world is not going to get it. When we look at the world and we see how chaotic it is, we see how wrong it is, we see all the evil in the world, it's like, how can they see that this is not right? How can they not see that this is not right? How can they not understand that what they're doing and the direction they're heading and the destruction that is being caused is not right? Well, that's because they don't see the truth. You and I are created with a hole in our spirit that belongs to God. Everyone is. And when they don't know the truth and seek the truth, they're going to try to fill it any way they can. And thus you see all the chaos, all the different ways, all the different understandings out there today. So the Spirit of truth is very important. The Spirit of truth is one of the ways that the apostles were able to discern whether Paul's preaching was what it should be and his calling into the ministry. Verse 18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you, that yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. The interesting thing about that text, that those verses, is that one, with the Spirit of truth, God leaves us a promise. I promise to never leave you comfortless. Think about that for a minute. God says, listen, if God says it, it's pretty guaranteed, isn't it? I will never leave you comfortless. And that is huge. Because we are in a world that we need comforted, right? We need a lot of that comfort because of all the stuff, all the things that are on out there. So when he claims that or says that, that he will be there, basically in them, I believe when it says in verse 20, at that day. Now there's several school of thoughts on that. One says that he's talking about the resurrection. He's talking about all the, when they seen him after the resurrection that they would understand. But another school of thought says that's the day of Pentecost. And I'm leaning towards that understanding because of everything else in the text is talking about what the Spirit of God is going to do for us. And I believe on that day in verse 20 is referring to, and on that day you shall know that I am in my Father. How are they going to know? Well, when the Spirit of God dwelt them, when they received the Spirit of God, they received a whole lot more than just an indwelling. And I know this sounds very, maybe basic, but do you realize what you have received when the indwelling Holy Spirit came in? not just salvation, which is very, very important, not just a guaranteed adoption into the family of God, but you have received so much more. And I think it's the so much more that allowed the apostles in Jerusalem to be able to continue to understand. Paul, again, can't stress enough, when he went to Arabia and spent time alone with the God, he figured out his theology with God. Was Paul indwelled at that time? Absolutely. He was saved on the road to Damascus, correct? On the road to Damascus, that was well after all of this, well after Pentecost. When Paul got saved, he immediately had the indwelling of the Spirit of God in his life. When he got away, I can't help but think in my mind that when he went away, all of his tutoring, all of his understanding, all of his schooling of the Old Testament started to click, started to make sense. And I don't know about you, but when I study and all the all of a sudden things just mesh together, man, it's like, oh, that is so awesome. You know, God allows us to put those pieces together every now and then, and God allows us to see some of the golden nuggets and see some of his understanding. And trust me, he gives me understanding that I would not have any other way. And I think he does that for all of us. And so at this point, Paul, when he spent that time with God, the apostles, at this point in John 14, they were only being instructed. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it all. Because God said, on that day you'll know. And I believe that's the day of Pentecost, the day the Spirit of God came in on upon them. And then they begin to say, you know what? It makes sense. And it wasn't by any man's understanding. It wasn't by any man's intellect. It wasn't about what school they went to. It wasn't about what commentary they read. It wasn't about any. It was about their time with God. Here, how many years? 3 years of ministry? 3 years of ministry, God took them and taught them. We mentioned this morning that in a Jewish custom about the young men at 12, how the rabbis chose the best, what they thought. Well, do you realize that the ultimate rabbi chose these men and taught them for 3 years before he sent them out to be the witness? He took over the realms of the rabbinical teaching of Christ himself to these men. So all of their teaching now all of a sudden began to click. And all their teaching began to make sense. And so when we see how on that day it was so important, because that's when they were going to know that he and his Father and you are in me and I in you, and that we are now entwined in the Spirit. Listen, that's how we are able to live through this life. That's how we're able to make sense of some of the scriptures that just simply doesn't make sense. You know, how can we go into Scripture and how can we pull this all together thousands of years from Genesis to Revelations, and it still all says the same thing by all the different writers, by all the different men? So, important enough, we know that the Spirit of truth is the key. We also know on that day, Pentecost, they begin to understand more and more and more. They didn't have a Bible to revert back to. I always say the Bible has to interpret itself. If you're coming up with a reading and a studying and you're starting to come up with an idea that's contrary to somewhere else in the Bible, you better rethink it, because the Bible wasn't wrong. It's how you're thinking it, how you're coming up with it is wrong, not the Bible. They didn't have that. What did they have? All they had was the understanding of the 3 years of teaching that Christ gave them, and the Spirit of God in them that made it work. You know how exciting that is to me? All we need to do is spend time with God. All we need to do is put it in your mind. Memorize it, study it, read it. All we need to do is have it up here. Why? Because the Spirit of God will do the rest. Let's see how that develops as we go through. Verse 21 says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he that is the loved," or "he that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." That's just not salvation. An unsaved person cannot love God. They don't know him. They don't see him. That's what he said earlier in the text. The world don't understand it. They don't know me. They can't see me. He's talking to those who know him. And that verse is so important to me because he's saying, again, he said in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21 says, and he that does that, he that keeps my commandments and keepeth them, has them, keeps them, he's the one that loves me. So he's solidifying again one of the key rules in understanding or manifesting myself to him. Who does he do that to? He does that to the ones who have the commandment, who love him, and the love is shown by the obedience to him. You know, the more the obedient you are to God, the more of God you will understand. God's not going to give you more of him if you're already doubting him or not agreeing with him. God's not going to give you more than if you don't already work out what you got. If you're not listening to what you, if you're not living what you got, he's not going to give you more. And that verse is pretty clear as it stated that in verse 21. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And that's huge on that verse. Because when we see that Christian love is basically manifested as a believer obeys. How much do you love God? How much are you obeying him? The more you obey him, the more you love him. The more you love him, the more you obey him. And the more you obey him, the more God opens up your mind of understanding. And you will understand more about who he is than anybody else around you, possibly. That's how they knew. The apostles came to a point where they absolutely loved. Look what happened when Mary and Mary Magdalene came and told them that the tomb, the stone was rolled away. Man, they ran. They wanted to know. And when he appeared to them, man, how exciting they were to realize that he is alive. And everything started meshing from that point. And it's, I think it's very important because you know what? We serve the same God, right? We have the same Spirit of God in us. And the more that we love him, the more we will obey him. And the more that we obey him, the more he will manifest himself to us. You see, the scripture says that we may know the height and the depth and the breadth of God and God's love. You're never going to know that. You're never going to get there. We'll never exhaust it. But you'll never even get there if you can't be obedient with what you already know. And this can't be new to us, okay? We have to understand that I've been told all my life, you know, have your Bible, read your Bible, have your devotions. You got to be obedient to God. But for me, it's that next level of if I want to know more about God, it's not me digging into the Bible as much more as it is being obedient with what I already know about God. When I'm obedient with what I already know about God, verse 21 says that he's going to manifest himself. He's going to open up them floodgates. He's going to give us an understanding that we probably, and I guarantee, probably wouldn't have any other way. So this passage doesn't teach a work salvation. It doesn't teach the more I do for God, the more I obey him, the more I do for him. It's not a works deal. What it is, simply, is as we see this, it's rather the one of the who believes and obeys Christ is loved by the Savior. Obedience comes from faith. And I think it sets a whole nother reason, a whole nother level of reason why we need to listen to the Word of God. Because when the days are dark and the valleys are deep and we're trying to find our God in the midst of it, I want all of him I can have. I want all of him I can get. But I have a little bit of control in that. Because if I'm not obedient to him, he's not going to manifest himself to me. It's exactly what Scripture says. So to me, it's a key. It's one of the keys. The Spirit of truth is the key. Loving God, obeying God is a key. And God doing the manifestation. God showing himself to us. Listen, we're never going to get it. We're never going to understand God. There's no way that our feeble minds can try to understand anything about God and all his glory. That's where faith comes in. That's where our trust comes in. We understand he's given us enough, but we're never going to understand it all. And I truly believe when we see his glory face to face, that's why we're going to go whoosh, prostrate on the ground. All the questions you have now for God, I really don't think they're going to matter. All the things you want to know why God did what he did, I don't think they're going to matter. Because for the first time, we're going to truly get who he is. I don't think we're going to have a right to ask him a question when we understand finally who he really is. So, again, I think very important in the steps how they were able to understand this. Interesting, in verse 22, it says, "And Judas saith unto him, Not Iscariot, Lord, how is this that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" He's saying, why are you just to us? Why not the whole world? Why just us? And Jesus answered in verse 23, "If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." And again, that word abode is interesting because it has that make room, have room with him, come into the room. And the same Greek word is used in 14:1 where it says mansions. It's the rooms. It's plural in verse 1 of 14. Here is singular, and it's saying, I and my Father will make room with them. Just think about that for a minute. You think God's busy? I mean, for you and I, just even begin to think of all the things he's sustaining right now. For you and I, that's an unbelievable busyness. But God's going to say, wait a minute. We need to make room right now for here. God's that good. He makes room for every one of us when we need him the most. And he will do that according to his word. I think it's awesome. Again, the apostles, they understood this more and more. Verse 24, "Is he that loveth me, not my sayings, and the word which he hears not mine, but the Father which sent me, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you." That passage, being present yet with you, is saying, while I'm still here, you're really not going to get this. Because the Spirit of God is not in you yet. Until, as verse 20 said, at that day. At that day, then you're going to get it. At that understanding. So I looked at this for a moment and I thought, you know, that's almost like talking with somebody who doesn't know Christ. And I'm sure hopefully you all have had an experience with that somewhere in your spiritual life. Or you've talked to somebody about Christ and they start asking you all the questions. Well, after two or three questions, you can tell if they really want to know or if they want to argue the issue. And so there are some individuals who ask those questions just to win the argument because they don't get it. They don't understand the need of salvation. They don't understand the importance of in their life. And so I think Christ is saying here again, while he was with them, they're not going to quite get it. But then he complains. And again, these things, I challenge you. In verse 25, it says, "These things have I spoken." Whenever you see the word "these things," stop and go find out what these things are. Because it really sets a tone. And we've looked at them. It's the spirit of truth. It's the obedience. It's the commandments of God. It's the loving God, and he will show himself to you. It's all the things that he just told them. "These things have I spoken unto you, being present with you." And then again, we have that transition word that the counterpart or the other side of it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." That's how the apostles knew. That's all they had. And it was enough. It was enough to change the world upside right. And we are afraid to go out sometimes until we've got how many commentaries, how many Bibles, and we're afraid to teach the truth, and we're afraid to do all the, and we need all these educations, and we need all these things. We, boy, there's no way. Somebody may ask me a question I don't know, and you, do you think the Spirit of God's going to leave you hanging out there? Do you think he's going to put you in a situation? Listen, there's no way anybody on earth knows everything, right? So when somebody asks you a question you don't know, do the same thing I just did on the text. Listen, I'm going to have to get back to you on that one. Great questions. Keep digging. Because I didn't know the answer. Well, it's okay not to know the answer. What's not okay is to try to fudge an answer because you want them to think you know you have the answer. Listen, the Spirit of God in us, that's all we need. And I mean, I don't know, maybe a light bulb's not coming on for y'all like it did for me. But that's all we need. We don't need the degrees. We don't need the names. We don't need all the pomp and circumstance. We just need the Spirit of truth in us. We just need to obey the Word of God. We just need to love Him more and more every day. And what happens after that? God opens the doors above our understanding. God opens that all up, and we understand things, and we're able to put things together and remember verses from here to there and remember some great answers to give. Why? Not because we're that good, but it, God is. When he states in verse 26, when that comforter, and it's interesting how he's going to come in his name. Basically, we know that he has to come. He's going to first give him a understanding, and that he is going to teach them. In other words, he's going to allow them to understand what 3 years of education, the Spirit of God is going to put the understanding to that. There's a difference between knowing the facts and understanding, right? There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is the facts. Wisdom is knowing how to apply the facts. The Spirit of God gives us the wisdom. We can gain the knowledge. Thus my question. Do we spend more understanding in our own knowledge than just letting the Spirit of God teach us? Letting the Spirit of God work it through in our lives instead of us trying to figure it out, us trying to come up with the answers. Because I think there's a big difference. And I think it's seen here as the apostles had that, that he's going to teach them all things. And again, these all things, you got to keep it in context, okay? I don't believe God is going to teach us all things. God is going to teach us everything we need. But all things, the apostles needed to know all things. Why? Because they were the authenticating soundboard for the Word of God. They didn't have the Spirit of God. They didn't have the Word of God. We've got the completed Word of God. All things to them, everything that would have come up in the early church, every issue that they would have had to deal with the Judaizers, with everything else going on, they would needed answers for. Now remember, these were the fishermen. These weren't the rabbis. These were the tradesmen, not educated in the ways of the law. But not one of them lost an argument, if you'd like to say it that way. I'll say discussion. None of them lost a discussion when it came to sharing Christ. Because why? The Spirit of God taught them. And then, listen, God knows us so well, doesn't he? Not only did he teach them, but he would recall back for them. God knew you and I aren't going to remember it all. He recalled back for them what they learned. And the same Spirit of God is going to do that for you and for me. You see, that's how Paul was able to go there. And they were able to bring back into remembrance the things that Christ had said to them in their 3 years of teaching. And that just baffles me that in 3 years, Christ gave them enough to be able to be the truth soundboard of the early church. 3 years. Now, they were with him 24/7. It was a school of hard knocks understanding. But they watched him treat people. They watched him do miracles with people. They watched him live the word he spoke. They watched him do everything right. And then they understood it on the day of Pentecost. And now they're able to do. Now they're saying all the things to do. The bonus fact of that is the peace. Interesting enough, and again, sometimes my rabbit trails. Interesting enough, after Christ just told them that the Spirit of God was going to come, teach them all things, remembrance, all the things. And the peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why was that verse right after that? I truly believe that the chronological order of Scripture is very important. God put those two verses together. Do you think those men at the day of Pentecost, or do you think those men being the leaders, the soundboard of truth, might have been a little bit nerved? May have been a little bit afraid of the Romans? Maybe a little bit afraid of the Judaizers? They just watched them crucify Christ. Do you think they needed to understand that they were going to have a peace like no other? They were going to have a peace within them to be able to go do what God was asking them to do. Listen, I'll tell you, that's exciting. That's exciting because God says, listen, I'm going to give you a peace, my peace. Only one time in Scriptures do we see that the human side of Christ at the Garden of Gethsemane prayed to his Father. But you know, immediately after that prayer, he had peace, didn't he? He had peace. See, that kind of peace is, God, I am going to trust you completely for my understanding. I am going to trust you completely that in you giving me the understanding that I am going to play it forward into the world I live in with no fear. With no fear. Man's fear, at least the fear that men have, I think is one of the biggest hurdles and stumbling blocks of a Christian's life. That fear takes us too much. That fear overrides us too much, and we don't have the understanding of that peace as he can do and continue to do in our lives. So again, Christ says in verse 28, you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, ye would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father. My Father is greater than I, and now I have told you before it comes to pass that even when it come to pass that ye might believe. This is all happening as an education right now. So again, how did Paul, or why did any of them look to Jerusalem and the apostles? Because of this understanding, because of the Spirit of God in them that God gave them. And I'm going to tell you, if we could get back to this, letting the Spirit of God truly run our lives, truly give us the peace that God wants to give, truly stop figuring our own intellect and letting the Spirit of God just give us the peace until we've figured out. We've become too impatient. We pray, we want the answers, we need answers, and there are things in our life that we need to decide immediately. Maybe the Mack truck coming down head on. You need to decide now. You can't just, okay, Lord, whatever you want. Next week, give me the answer. You're going to get killed, okay? So there are things in our life that we need to decide, like right now. And I think that's where chapter 15 comes in. If you abide in me and I abide in you, then ask. So the thermometer in this is, when you have to make a split-second decision, it's the same decision you would make as if you prayed and let it in God's hand. Because you're so close, abiding with him, that he'll let you make that decision correctly, really quickly. But when we have too much of our own intellect involved in it, that's when we get messed up. That's when we start thinking differently. And so, that's just something I wanted to bring tonight. I think it was, as I studied through that and read through that, I thought, you know, Paul went for unity. And then I thought, is it any wonder why there's not much unity in our churches today? Because I think man's got way too much part in it. Man has way too much of intellect, his own intellect in it. and we're really stifling the Spirit of God in our lives, in our churches, and in any revival that could happen in our world, in our nation, because we're thinking too much on our own deal. And I'm not saying, listen, God gave us brains, we're to use them. God gave us common sense. Please keep common sense in your life. We're living in a world that seems to have gone out the window. But when it comes to the level of understanding God, listen, if he's good, he's always good. Doesn't matter if you see it. Doesn't matter if you feel it. Doesn't matter if you experience it in the moment. Doesn't change the fact of who he is. He gives us the peace until we understand it completely. And so for me, that it's important, because we really need to rely more on God than our own way of thinking and our own way and our own abilities. So any questions or comments on any of that before we close it down tonight? All right, let's go ahead and close in prayer, and then we'll give you a couple minutes and we'll start in our meeting. God, we thank you again for the understanding you give. Lord, there is no way in our feeble minds, our tainted, sinful minds, that we could even begin to understand your righteousness, even begin to put the pieces of all this together. But I am so grateful, God, that you promised the Spirit of God in us, they'll do it for us. If there's nothing being recalled, maybe it's because there's nothing we've studied. We need to know your word. We need to know you. And God, all the things that we could be learning of you, Lord, that's when the Spirit of God has something to work with. And Father, I pray that we set our own thoughts, our own ways, our own agendas aside. And Lord, we just really allow you to take control. That's easy said, very difficult to do. And Lord, we just pray that you give us the strength and the understanding to do that, because I really, truly believe that is one of the evidence of how much we love you, is to how much we let you have control. And God, we just thank you for the study tonight. Pray you continue to use it in our lives. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.